Hey everybody, welcome back. You're listening to Zentertainment Talk Radio. I'm Joe Davidson, and you can catch the show anytime, day or night, here on the web at zentertainment.org. I'm here today at the Omega Conference in New York City. Yes, I am back home. Well, it feels like home, even though a lot of you know I moved to Connecticut just a few weeks ago, because I've been boring you with that story. But I'm back in my home, so to speak. And I'm sitting here with Sean Korn. Hi, Sean. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Well, you're a nationally celebrated yoga instructor, and you've been featured on the covers of Yoga Journal, Nike, Goddess, Spa Magazine, Glamour, Allure, and National Commercials magazines. Did you ever dream that you would be doing this?
Not in a million years. When I got into yoga, which is almost 21 years ago, it wasn't the way that it is now. It didn't have that kind of popularity, and certainly didn't have any celebrity. And I remember when I decided to become a yoga teacher, my family, my parents specifically, were mortified by that choice. And I remember telling them that I will never make any money at this, but I will live every single day of my life happy. When yoga got so popular, and I really was there at the right time and the right place, and just made myself very available to those opportunities. No one was more surprised than myself to see how it's evolved and the opportunities that I've had as a result of this national popular kind of explosion. And so I think it's fabulous. I feel completely grateful. I feel very privileged. And I intend not to ever take any of these opportunities for granted. It's a real gift.
I love one of the things that struck me you just said is that you didn't think you'd make money at it, but you chose to do something you were happy with and love doing it. Maybe that's why you're making money.
I have no doubt in my mind. And I also think it's because I was sincere about that statement. And to this day, I'm still sincere about it. If all the success and all the attention was taken away, I know that I would still wake up tomorrow morning and teach people yoga. It just feeds my creativity, and it's what I know that I've been born to do. And when you're in your destiny, when you're in your dharma, it's just very natural. And so I think because I don't have a huge attachment to the success or to the money, that's why God's blessed me so wonderfully with the opportunity to make a living doing something that I love. But with that, I also feel like there's a real responsibility, because when abundance comes in, to covet abundance means you stop the flow. So I'm very committed to always taking as much attention, energy, money that I get in. I make sure that I'm taking as much attention, energy, money, and placing it back out into the world and being of service, so that there's balance in what both of what I'm pulling in and what I'm extending outward.
That's beautiful, because you keep the flow going in that way that mirrors the very essence of the physical practice you're doing, which is so much about flow.
Yes, exactly. It's all about flow. It's all about flow and balance and harmony and connection and unity. And because of what's happening on a planetary level, there's so much pain and violence and terrorism and a lack of connection. And what's happening is that very idea is that we forgot that we are united, and we think instead we're separate. And so to me, the yoga practice brings us back to that philosophy that we are connected, we are united, and we have a responsibility to serve each other because we are ultimately one. For my own journey in yoga, what I look back over the 20 years of practicing, and I was able to see that my journey's been very compartmentalized. In the first part of my experience, it was physical and mental. I practiced simply because it made my body look and feel better. But I didn't have any connection to my emotional life or my spiritual life. And after practicing for years like that, suddenly as the tension released and as my body started to soften, I started to feel emotions that were trapped into my body that I wasn't even aware, and started to understand the philosophy that there's no separation between the mind and the body. And the things that you think or feel have an influence on your cellular tissue. And that very often we may reconcile the events in our lives through our five senses, rationally, reasonably. But our bodies remember the trauma, the abuse, the disconnect, the dysfunction. And we get triggered very easily. And so I just decided to explore that for years and years, and got connected to my emotions, which meant I got more connected to my femininity, and started to explore themes around can you get to God through your intellect, which I don't really agree you can, because in your mind, you're attached to those five senses. The only way to get there is through your heart. It's through your vulnerability is the only way that you can really reach those levels of surrender. So I explored that for years. And what happened when I began to release the tension, connect to the emotions, understand how they got there in the first place, reconcile them through forgiveness, my heart began to open and it moved to the next realm, which was the psychic symbolic, the spiritual aspect, and really truth and love. And those are the three realms: physical, mental, energetic, emotional, psychic, symbolic. And seeing that you can actually use your physical body to pray for peace, to pray for love. You can use your body to connect both to the God within as well as to the God that's within all. And it took years to get there, believe me. It's that's the practice of yoga. Doors are constantly opening. So that's what I try to offer in my classroom, those three elements to create a complete and holistic journey that's both based on fact and faith.
For those of you listening today, I was talking with Shawn when she first walked in about an experience I had that was traumatic in the 90s where there was a major earthquake in California, and it was the first and only time in my life I truly thought I was going to die. The post-traumatic stress of it was really great. And I don't know why for me it was, where other people, you know, got over it, moved on, who knows. But Shawn, if you have, you know, any advice for not only myself, but people who are listening who have been through things, how can yoga help with releasing these things?
Post-traumatic stress disorder and those kind of huge traumas in our lives really have an influence. They penetrate very, very deep. For me personally, I would combine yoga with a therapist that deals with post-traumatic stress disorder, but also includes the spirituality aspect within it as well, and utilize the time that I was spending within my therapy sessions, balancing out with yoga to try to release those energies with understanding. I prefer at this point, if I was going to work with someone, they'd have to talk about spirit. I need to understand co-creation, my responsibility in it. I need to see the bigger picture. I need to understand that everything happens perfectly the way it's supposed to in order for our soul to transform. That all the events in our life can ultimately enhance our spirit, not decrease it. And even something that is that can cause post-traumatic stress disorder can ultimately have a positive influence to change your life for the greater good, that can open your heart to compassion, to truth, even to forgiveness. But it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's knowing that this energy is in the body. It's real. It exists. It's powerful. Very often it's also addictive. We can use it to prevent ourselves from feeling. Very often what happens in a horrible situation is basically our body locks up for survival. And so it becomes something that we remember. Anytime we go up against something, then that becomes scary. Our body locks to survive. And so we have to let our bodies know that it's safe, that we're safe, and that it's okay to breathe and to feel, and that healing is possible, but it does take time. And it takes support. Support groups are excellent, as well as always being with someone who introduces themes around self-help that encourages us to see the bigger picture. It's not what someone did to us, but it's what we do today with that story that's going to help enhance our lives. Mysticism simply means acknowledging that God exists in all moments, both the light as well as the dark, and that to understand what light is, we have to respect and acknowledge the aspect of the shadow, because we're in these bodies to learn about love, and it's the journey of understanding love is to know what love is not. It's just that great duality, and the path of mysticism is a really challenging one for a lot of intellectual people to get their arms around, because they want it to make sense. But the need to compartmentalize it in our ability to reason, we limit the broadness of its perspective, because there is so much more to this world than what meets our eye, because we're limited by the here and the now. So jumping into mysticism is a real act of faith, and it's not for everyone, and it really isn't. It's a real challenge. It's a challenge for me. I struggle with it all the time. I want everything to make sense. And now I understand, as I'm growing older and becoming more mature, what I want to shift now is no longer the experiences. All that I pray for is the strength to shift my perspective towards that experience. Those are my greater prayers.
Personally, how has yoga helped you? What are some of the emotions that have changed and things in your body that have shifted because of yoga?
I am much more softer and feminine than I've ever been in my life as a result of yoga. Not to say that I don't have hard edges, and I certainly do. And I'm very masculine in the way that I am in the world. I'm pretty forthright, and I consider myself a strong woman. Yet for years and years, I allowed my strength to be to live right next to my masculinity. And so I wasn't a person that you can get close to. I wasn't as available. I was intense, tough. And I equated my masculinity to strength. And I don't feel that way anymore. The yoga practice has really softened me up, and that my strength comes from another kind of a wisdom. And that the masculine energy and the feminine energy now feel so much more balanced that I can now have an emotion. I can feel, I can grieve, I can be sad and angry, and still be able to be strong and focused and not lose my center in the face of a larger emotion. And in the past, I think I was very afraid of being vulnerable because I equated vulnerability to hysteria, and I equated hysteria to femininity. And I just don't feel that way anymore. I feel much more available and approachable, much more relaxed in most situations as a result of the practice, much more confident than I've ever been in my life. And I know that's also from the practice of yoga. I feel like I've been able to reconcile certain events in my life through forgiveness, through love, through truth. And I feel empowered now, not in spite of the experiences of my life, but because of them. And I know that the yoga has, it continues to educate me and give me a different kind of a vocabulary to see beyond my ego and to see that there is something else at play that I'm a part of, and I want to participate wholly, fully, vulnerably. I don't want to resist change, and I don't want to resist the power of this world because of my own fear.
How are you so good at giving interviews?
That I don't know. That's a funny question. The information around yoga, wellness, and healing is such an important, it's so important to me that I often feel that it's beyond me. If I had to think too much about what I was saying, I'd probably get much more insecure and intimidated by the process. But I feel such a responsibility to deliver this information in the most sincere way that I can. And sincerity for me just means realness. It just means being present and just being available. And I want people to get that they can take responsibility for their lives and transform their consciousness. And in doing so, what gets to happen, the best part of the yoga practice, is that we get to be of service to each other. And so right now, even in this interview, I feel that this is a service that I am meant to do. And so it's not about me. If I thought it was about me, I'd probably be much more nervous about it. Usually what brings us to a yoga room or a therapy room or any kind of self-help environment is a trauma or an abuse or some sort of a dysfunction that has finally made us have to take responsibility for our lives. And once you go through the process and you start to heal and you start to get great wisdom and understanding, what gets developed is compassion and empathy. And it's compassion and empathy that will begin to change this world. Because if you're no longer judging your own journey, then when you meet another brother or sister on the path, you're not going to judge theirs. You're going to be able to look at them and say, I get it. I've been there. I've walked this path. Let me hold your hand and support you while you take this next part of your own journey. And so I really do believe that that's how this world will change. And I know that me personally, that's where my yoga practice has led me to. Service for me is everything. It's the strongest part of the practice of yoga. And it's the part that I'm more committed to than anything else.
I purposely the other day wrote a blog on a dream I had where I was having trouble forgiving somebody, and an old wound and hurt came up, and in my dream I was yelling at them again, and I wanted to do that because sometimes we're misguided when we think that spirituality and being quote unquote evolved means perfection, and I think perfection's very much overrated.
Well, the one thing that I think that happens in the yoga community is that we have this idea that yoga looks prettier than it is. You know, we want to wear the pretty mala beads and the white and flowers in our hair and take on that, the mantle of the spiritual being. But if you deny the shadow, if you deny the animal, that energy will somehow stay in your system and reveal itself in at very awkward times and make you reactive. And that anger is real. It's just what you choose to do with it. being in your own home, waking up and screaming into a pillow and crying and raging and journal writing the meanest, nastiest stuff, I think has value. Better that than going to that person and dumping all your stuff on them. There's truth in the rage, but it's just how you direct it, how you place it, is what's really going to then help you to erupt the beauty, the forgiveness, the understanding. And I think people often try to avoid the shadow because it's ugly. I know my shadow is ugly. It scares me to death. But I also know that if I deny it, if I ignore it, it will have its day, and it certainly will have its say. And I would rather respectfully awaken it with understanding and compassion so that it doesn't rule my life.
Can you tell us all about your work with an organization called Children of the Night?
Children of the Night is a nonprofit organization out of Van Nuys, California, and it's the only shelter in all of Northern America that is specifically designed for adolescent prostitutes. And these are young men and women who are severely sexually abused, who have been literally taken off the street and are being educated, rehabilitated to be able to function in the world without having to sell their bodies or exploit themselves to be able to survive or to make money. It's an incredible organization run by Dr. Lois Lee. And I'm very proud to have been be able to participate in this particular organization in the way that I have. I volunteer to teach yoga there. Adolescent prostitutes, obviously, who are severely sexually abused are going to have issues around their body and safe touch. And so I thought, what better than yoga to introduce to these kids? The kids were really, I wouldn't say they were always open to me. I mean, these are street kids. They're street rats. They're tough. And I come in all bubbly and, you know, blonde. And, you know, at first they rejected me a little bit until I demonstrated. And they loved that. They loved seeing me demonstrate yoga. And then we'd play. And half the time out of their mouths comes, I can't. Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm too fat. My boobs are too big. It's always this no. And I would, especially handstand. I did handstand every class. And I would go up against the wall. And sometimes these girls are big. And I would say, I would look them in the eye and say, I will not drop you. I promise I have you. And they would fling their bodies up. And I would grab them, hoist them up against me, hold on for dear life. And when they would come down, there was nothing more incredible than looking at a 13-year-old boy or girl become 13 again. The joy, the elation, the excitement that they were actually able to accomplish something was so overwhelmingly exciting. And then they would play. They'd be flinging themselves up against the wall without me, falling on their heads, but they didn't care anymore because they were able to just kind of jump over that hurdle of I can't. And it was a very empowering experience working with these young boys and girls and to see their own evolution, you know, the gang tattoos being taken off of them. And a lot of the girls come in and they have engagement rings on because from their pimps, you know, they believe that their pimps love them. And one by one, the rings will start to come off and you can start to see that they're rehabilitating. They're coming back into their own and they're feeling their feelings. And it evolved, working with Children of the Night evolved into a campaign now that I do in the yoga community called Off the Mat Into the World. I'm the national global ambassador, excuse me, the national yoga ambassador for an organization called Youth AIDS. And Youth AIDS raises money and awareness around the HIV/AIDS crisis worldwide and how it influences and affects the kids. And it gives me an opportunity to stand on a stage and talk about sexuality and sexual abuse because, unfortunately, in the third world countries, why AIDS is so prevalent is because of sex trafficking and because of the child prostitution that happens in our third world countries. And so I just got back from India just last week where I'd spent a month working in the field, working with sex workers and their kids and clients.
Oh, that sounds so scary to me.
It was terrifying but exciting. We worked in the largest slum in all of Asia called Dharavi. I actually blogged the whole thing on yogajournal.com. So if people want to hear or read, rather, about my day-to-day experience of working with sex workers and about the AIDS crisis in India, I recommend checking it out. And the reason I wanted to go to India was because India and the yoga community is often so glorified. And it was my intentions to show that this cult, there is a darker aspect to this culture that needs to be brought to the light. And that so many of the men and women who are within this culture are dying unnecessarily. And without proper education, the pandemic will continue to spread. And a lot of the people that we work with, unfortunately, are illiterate. So they don't even know AIDS exists. We climbed into a rusty ladder through a hole in the floor of a ceiling. We had to climb through into this dark room where there were men watching like 1970s porn. And this was in a slum, so it cost about 44 rupees, no less, about 20 rupees, which is maybe 50 cents, to see this movie. It's pitch black. Everyone was sitting on the floor. It was disgusting. But Youth AIDS then interrupts the film and does condom demonstrations and shows pictures of different sexually transmitted infections and dialogues with the men, and then puts their movie back on and leaves. It's educating the men and the women and helping to empower them so that they can take responsibility for their health and for the community that they're living in.
Sounds like you're doing some really important work. For people who are listening out there who have never done yoga, or people who are really experienced and can't get to your classes in person, do you sell any products or tapes?
I have two DVDs out right now into the market that are more beginner-related DVDs through Gaia Am that are available in most places, Whole Foods, Target, places like that, or you can get them online at gaiam.com. And I'm about to release a new DVD through Yoga Journal, probably be out in about 2 months. And that DVD was filmed live at a conference, so it's really very much in the moment. I'm proud of that DVD because of the message that's in it, because there's only one take, and, you know, no one can say, you know, cut, you can't say that. And I'm really able to give the information that about around service and God and forgiveness and the things that are very important to me while teaching people asana. So that one should be out soon. You can also order online at iamplify.com. You can download my live classes from LA that I do every Wednesday.
Well, Sean, thanks for joining us today here at Zentertainment Talk Radio. It's been really inspiring to hear from you, and really looking forward to trying out some of your yoga DVDs for myself. So thanks. It was great to have you on the show.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure.
You've been listening to Zentertainment Talk Radio here on the web at zentertainment.org. I'm Joe Davidson. This was my conversation with Sean Korn. Her website again is www.seanecorn.com. Have a great week, and I'll catch you next time. Okay, peace.